Good afternoon, everyone. This is Marty Oakley of the PBJ Gazette Online, and this is a special edition of TS Radio. This afternoon, we've got two guests coming on with us here just shortly who have been battling the smart meter issue out in Michigan. They've been fighting it tooth and nail. As many of you know, there is a battle across the country trying to stop the installation of these meters. They're not only highly dangerous, but they are very invasive. They are a surveillance meter, and they are going to be used eventually, if they can get enough of them installed, to ration your use of energy. And they're coming out with electric, water, and gas meters. Now, part of the argument has been, and we saw this recently from Naperville, Illinois, what they did was arrest two ladies who tried to stop the utility company from jerking out their analog meter and putting in a smart meter. And as I understand it, they successfully fended off the utility company for about 2 years. And eventually they showed up with the police. The one woman who stood in front of her meter was to prevent them from changing it was arrested for obstructing the police, not the utility company, but obstructing the police. She's on her own property, trying to protect her property, and there is no law that says she must have this meter installed. Now, the argument that the city manager is using is that they have the right, and this comes with the purchase of your property, to take care of their property, which is these meters, and they do. But they cannot arbitrarily take out equipment that's working and in good working order and install something that you do not want. Now, just because they've taken federal grant money and lots of it does not mean you are subject to that contract. But this gets down into various levels of your rights, of your property rights. This is such an invasion, and it's no good is going to come from this. This is not intended to conserve energy. It is not intended to help you save money on your bills. This is not intended for anything that would benefit you in any kind of way. So our guests this afternoon are John and Pauline Halton from Michigan, and I want to welcome you both to the show.
Thank you, Marty.
Glad to be here.
Yeah, you two have, I'm telling you, the battle you two have waged in Michigan over this, if ever there were standard bearers for a cause, I think you two are it. John and Pauline run the website
www.w4ar.com,
and they keep it continually updated on what's going on with smart meters, what they've accomplished in Michigan. Right at this moment in time, what do you guys see as the most important step you have taken in regards to these meters?
Well, I think the most important thing we did, we finally got the MPSC involved to make them do an investigation, which we did with you, 17,000. And we had 600-700 people write letters and email about that. Now, right now, we're in an intervention process. We were in hearings a couple weeks ago that we were able to question DTE people, MPSC, the Attorney General, and everybody. It was wonderful because we caught them in a lot of different things. And I would suggest everybody in their state do that to get something going with their Public Service Commission, an investigation and an intervention like we did.
Well, you know, I think, Pauline, what bothers me is like here in Minnesota, they came through here last year, of course, with these smart water meters, and I was virtually the only person in town that stood up and objected. And when I asked the city council, why in the hell did you do this? Well, we had grant money, and this is one of the things we could spend it on. I said, of all the things this town needs and could have used, and you decided to get, well, it's not going to cost you anything. I said, not right at the moment. But it is going to cost us terribly. And they're already talking now. Go ahead, Pauline.
It's cost a lot of people. We're talking with people that have $1,700 water bills. We tried warn them last summer. This one lady, I talked to her yesterday, she had a $2,100 water bill. She says now she's going to pay it. Now, we have two people in Warren that have their water shut off for months because they refused the smart meter.
Well, that's what they were going to do to me, Pauline.
they, and I have two grandkids living with me. If I'd have been here alone, I'd have said, shut it off. Go ahead. But they claim that if I maintained that analog meter that was in the basement, that it would cost $50 a month for someone to walk by here and scan, because it's got a digital on the outside of the house, and scan that. So my immediate response was, who was getting paid $50 per household to scan these meters before? Well, no one. My contention was, so you're trying to extort me. And this is what I don't understand, and maybe you can, you've encountered it or you've had some experience with it. This is extortion, and it's malfeasance of office. It's malfeasance in the sense that they use their office to cause harm to the very people they were supposed to be representing or defending or whatever. And we've seen this come up time and time again in the courts. There's no federal mandate for these meters. There's nothing that says you have to do it. This is a contract entered into between your county commissioners and the utility company. If you didn't sign that contract, you're not party to it.
Well, once and you have that meter on your house, that's a contract.
That, for that meter, that's the one thing I found out in talking with PURPA, Public Utilities Regulation, they only in regards to the currently installed meter. That doesn't mean that they can come out and put a meter on your house that you don't want. If, and it's all based on, according to them, it's all based on, was the meter functioning and was it working accurately? So one of the first things I did when they came out with this smart meter here, water thing here, was I checked the Public Utility Commission to find out how many complaints had been lodged about inaccurate readings of water meters here. There was none. None. So I brought that up. I said, there's been no complaints. And they all just looked at me. But what I don't understand is, in all of the issues that I've dealt with, the difficulty in getting people to act, to getting them to not wait till the last minute, not wait till they're out there nailing one of these things to your house, but act beforehand, more in a preventative rather than a reactionary manner. And you've had so much success in turning the tide up there. What do you attribute that to, Pauline?
Well, we started on it quite early. We actually found out 2008, but we actually didn't start out until 2009. We started getting the website up to date. We started getting more people involved. We went to different places, different cities and townships, like we said the last time, and just more and more people. We've done 3 or 4 shows, this radio talk shows this week, and we're getting more and more callers from Michigan. They want to help out. People are not turning away, they're helping. It's wonderful.
That's great. And I watch your site quite a bit to see what I can use here, trying to get people motivated. I know they're at the current time beginning to install the electric smart meters in St. Cloud, the largest city north of me. And up there, the people are saying, well, you know, it's going to save us money. And I've dropped off flyers, Pauline. I've printed off materials, you know, anecdotal case studies. This is what's going to happen to you if you don't stop this. And it's just like talking to a brick wall. And I really am stymied anymore of how to get, that's why I'm so curious of how you manage to get the interest of people, because apparently you're doing something I missed.
John, what do you think?
Well, Marty, one of the main things that I've done when we went from city to city was I brought documentation, because we only get 3 or 5 minutes to speak at a public hearing. And the main issue was that normally the council or the board of trustees didn't know anything about smart meters. It was the first they were hearing about it. So when we went there, we brought literature, and then we brought DVDs about the dangers of smart meters and let them go ahead. And like I said, some of them would read the literature, some wouldn't. But we come back in 2 weeks and we do it again. In the meantime, we'd be going to other communities. And that's how we got it. Every once in a while, somebody read the material or watched the DVD, and they'd ask questions. And this brought up more issues. So gradually, it may have taken, took 2 weeks in Oak Park. In other communities, it took 3 months, 5 months. But like they're really hard to get them the information, because DTE actually went about trying to stop us from going to communities. They sent out a letter warning 300 communities that there were some misinformed, highly emotional people from generally outside their community coming to disrupt their meetings. They sent out letters warning. Yeah, it's, I've posted my evidence on case U17053 today, and it says direct testimony of John Holton on the smart meter page. That evidence is in the record on case U17053. That letter they actually sent, Ronald Chris, sent a letter to Shelby Township, where I live, for my supervisor to read it to the audience that night, and he highlighted it in red what he wanted the supervisor to read. And they said exactly that, about misinformed but well-intentioned people, highly emotional, going to cities, normally outside. Yeah, it's on the record now in case U17053.
So if anybody
wants scared
to make that good evidence. They've got good evidence if they want to sue, though. I'm with the EMF because
but
they push it off on others, you know.
Well, let me clarify this, though.
Okay.
Let me clarify this, though. That what you were talking earlier about the cost of the water meters, and I'm talking about the smart meters here in Michigan, is that they try to go ahead and, well, I said that they lied, okay, about who wants to opt out. They took 1,100 complaints here in Michigan and subtracted that from the 800,000 installations of AMI meters, and they said there were 798,000 happy campers that wanted the AMI meter. But they never did a survey. They never did a scientific survey, a pilot program where here's a questionnaire, do you like our product, check yes or check no. They never did anything like that. And when we cross-examined the MPSC, they said the same thing. When they went to other states on that to look into smart meter issues there, they never asked for a survey. They don't know, had the faintest idea how many people wanted an AMI meter, or how many people were satisfied with an AMI meter, or how many people would get out of it if they possibly could.
If they asked, they wouldn't get the answer they wanted. So,
that's
why they never asked the question. You know, they assumed an answer for a question that was never asked. Yeah.
Well, this was the fight we had, okay? From the very beginning, I thought the Michigan Consumer Protection Act, PA 331, 1976, that says that no one can coerce you, lie to you, deceive you, make you buy a product you never ordered or contracted for, would protect us. But here it is, that the smart meter is not mandatory in Michigan. There's no federal mandate or state mandate. It's DTE's personal agenda to have this particular meter put on our home against our will, so they theoretically can save energy and make profits down the road that may not reduce the cost of the service to us.
Exactly.
And that's what we finally get out at this meeting, okay, that the truth of the matter. It's not mandatory in Michigan. The MPSC didn't mandate it. They gave them a waiver to install it. There's a little bit of collusion in there.
Yes.
It's not mandatory in Michigan. So you have to say no. Other words, it's implied you're saying yes.
Well, my problem with that just say no policy is that when you do say no, the police show up. And even if you do say no, they will, you know, storm your property anyway and do it. And I did a tremendous amount of research on this back in August of 2011 and had written what has been a cornerstone article now, is the way I see it, because everybody's picked it up and is using it as evidence about there being no federal mandate. And this is what they were first telling people, was this, it was a federal mandate. You had to do it. And no, it isn't. And this was all done through the Economic Stabilization Act of 2005, the second one in 2008, and then Obama came in with the stimulus package in 2009. And all of it, Yeah, and all it did was funnel billions of dollars to the Department of Energy, and then they gave the Department of Energy the orders to implement by regulation, which is not enforceable law, to implement by regulation. It was then up to the Department of Energy to go out to all these utility companies and wave a bag of cash under their hands, or under their noses, and well, their hands too, and say, you know, here, we're going to give you this, but this is what we want you to do. Now, the first I heard of the smart grid, which is supposed to cover Canada, the United States, and Mexico, and put it all on one big grid, electrical grid. That sounds like Homeland Security to me. But was in 2003 under the Security and Prosperity Partnership that Bush signed in Waco, Texas, with Canada and Mexico. And it called for this smart grid. And I got to reading the Department of Defense's statements and documents on this, and they pointed out point blank that this would allow the government to arbitrarily shut down one house, one block, one town, one city, one state. They could shut down indiscriminately, arbitrarily, pick and choose at their discretion. Mm-hmm. Now, why would you want that ability? Who would want that ability? For what reason?
Would you like me to answer that?
Yes, please.
Well, what's going to happen down the road with the sustainable development and all that is that there's not going to be enough food, water, electricity, jobs for people to sustain their livelihood. And the government knows this here in the United States. And so what's going to happen is that when they do collapse our government, like the national debt ceiling, okay, is way beyond, you know, fixing. When our economy collapses and people can't get food, water, and shelter and, you know, protect themselves, because they want to eliminate the guns, so we cannot defend ourselves, defend our food and our water and our shelter, our property. So once the riots and all that start, they can go ahead arbitrarily shut on off this block, that block. They'll know who lives there and what they've got in their homes, and they kill the gas, water, and electricity, and they can starve out everybody they want to, you know, by their presidential executive order.
Well, you know, John, that's something, too. Like I say, having dealt with so many of these issues for so many years, you can go back and see where this has been systematically put into place, this whole system of creating fictional shortages, of, you know, the constant surveillance. Somebody recently said to me, because I'm a strong Second Amendment proponent, why would you support something like that? And I said, well, let's see. They're blowing out 26,000 dams across the country. And letting fresh water, potable water that we need, flow out to the sea.
Yep.
Because they're trying to save a fish. And they have burnt down how many of our national forests under their Let It Burn policy, where they started the fires themselves, and burnt down how many millions of acres of timber and forage and cover. And I said, and they have allowed Monsanto to come in and bastardize our food. It's not fit to eat.
Exactly.
And I said, we are aggressively going after anyone who works independently in agriculture, trying to run them out of business. And I said, they are already in various places jailing people for growing their own garden or growing it in the wrong place in their yard. And I said, they have systematically come after every one of our constitutional rights, and the last one, and the most important, is the right to keep and bear arms. I said, we have a government who has purchased now over 2 billion rounds of ammunition.
Yep.
Who do you think they're going to be target practicing on?
And
you wonder why I support, why I support the Second Amendment. I said, we know that we've got foreign troops, Russians in North Carolina, training 30,000 of them for urban warfare. Gee, I wonder where at.
Yeah.
And I said, we have troops sequestered all over the country. Why do you think people are so on edge, watching everything that goes on? But it's the control of the food, the water, and energy being one of the top three, food, water, and energy. They get control of those. We're down the toilet. We're in the tank.
Yeah.
And this is kind of like the last brick in the wall to me of everything else that they've done.
Well, they're putting all the pieces subtly together to where they're going to be able to control the population without, you know, being run over. And but the people have to remember the Second Amendment was put there to protect us from enemies, foreign and domestic. It's not for deer hunting, pheasant hunting, squirrel hunting.
Right.
This protect our country, our constitution, our way of life, and our people. It's not about whether we want to target practice, okay, on a weekend. This is about protecting our sovereignty. And this president that we have now just keeps going ahead, trying to go ahead and run over the Constitution at every opportunity, and we don't have any congressional leaders who are standing up to this. They want to play the politics. They look out for their own party, whether it's a Democratic or Republican Party, and they don't care about we the people. And that's just the crux of the matter. They don't care about us. They look out for their own selves, their own party, their own agenda, and not for our long-term sovereignty of our country.
You know, I had been talking to someone in a different organization here recently, and I said I couldn't figure out with the cesspool that our government is on all levels, why would anybody run for office? I said, why would anybody run for office? And he said, well, you've got this figured wrong. He said, you're assuming that if you ran for office, it would be from the aspect of what can I do to help the people that put me here? What can I do? What's the right thing to do? What does the law say? But he said, the people that are running for office these days, that's not it. He said, there's a lot of money behind them. That's the only way they can be a candidate. And that money comes from promising corporate donors and other hidden individuals that if I get into office, I will push this legislation and that legislation to benefit you. And this is exactly what we've seen happen. I have tried numerous times to talk to my local representative, to talk to my two state senators, Klobuchar and Franken, about smart meters. And I think we talked about this the last time I had you on, both offices. And even when I called Republican offices, I got the same thing. First, they claimed not to know anything about it. And then when I pressed them, they eventually mentioned, well, it's no worse than your cell phone. I don't have a cell phone. Well, it's no worse than your microwave. I don't have a microwave. Well, it's no worse than your flat screen TV. Don't have one of those either.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, but apparently you're all reading off the same talking points that you were handed because you're reciting the very same things in exactly the same order as a response to this.
Right.
So you do know about the smart meters. Now, why aren't you standing up and defending the people in your district?
Exactly.
Well, what do you want us to do?
That, Marty?
It's all money.
Yes. More money.
The answer to that is you hit it on earlier. The people running for office represent the people who got them there.
Yeah.
And that's their party. So if their party's agenda is with another corporation, then that's the issue of the day that they handle. It won't be till the smart meters are a major issue and they cannot ignore them anymore that they'll do something about it. Because, and this is what you have to remember. We just attended the Macomb County Convention yesterday, and it's all about them gathering money to press their issues to make sure they win elections so they can go forward. And that's it. They don't care about the personal agendas of the working people. It's about their party. And the Democrats are the same way. So
we
can't isolate that. So what you have to remember, though, is people don't get that, is that when you start thinking you're electing the president and all that, the people that get put up for president have gone through the process of the culling process of who is best for the party, not for the president to benefit the people. And that's what you got to remember. That person is a figurehead for their party that got elected and their agendas of that party to be furthered while he's in office.
I've heard so many people, you know, say, well, you know, it's unconstitutional for the president to write executive orders. And it is. if it, he was acting as the president. But we don't elect presidents. We have not elected presidents since 1873 when they incorporated the federal government. And so what we're actually electing is the chief executive. And you heard him openly referred to as the chief executive, as speaking as the chief executive in the Bush-Cheney crime administration. You heard Cheney repeatedly referring to Bush, you know, as the chief executive said this, and the chief executive did that. Not the president. They were telling you out front under what order they were acting. And but that executive order has no force of law outside the District of Criminals, or the District of Columbia. I call it the District of Criminals.
That's a good way to do it. I like that.
Or their insular possessions and territories, like their forts and ammo depots and all of that stuff. That's the only place they have any power or authority. And so this is what I told people. Said, well, you know, they own this and they own. No, they don't. They've got control of it, but they don't own it. It belongs to the state. And when you look at this process of how they run this stuff, like smart meters, through the energy department, who then goes out to the utility companies, bankrolls them, who then goes to the county commissioners, bankrolls them. And the money trail is, my God, the money that is passing hands to implement this stuff. And it's a waste of time and a waste of energy. If we want to go green, let's go green on, you know, shutting down the government. We need a moratorium on government. We need to shut that down. Or maybe we could bag the hot air that comes out of the District of Criminals. I don't know. But this is just the idea that we cannot get even our county officials, not even our county commissioners or our county, our state utility commission, to even deal with us honestly. It's just, and where in the hell's our legal system? You know, well, where is our legal system?
Marty, they do not honestly expect the people to be participating. This is what happened when we got started here in Michigan. We went to the city meetings and they go, "What in the world are you doing here? You're not from our community." I goes, "Well, there's some people in your community that want to know about these smart meters. What do you know about them?" They go, "We don't know anything about smart meters. What are smart meters?" They weren't expecting people to come up in the freedom of speech in the 3 and 5 minutes at these cities and townships and making everybody in the community aware of it. So once the populace, the real people, become aware of it, they have to start answering these questions on the phone and on the TV, and they're being held accountable for what they're doing and not doing.
Out in the open.
And I used to use this one thing. When I really felt they weren't listening to me, I goes, "These people elected you. You asked for their vote, and you took their money. You said you'd represent them and protect their rights. And what are you doing about it? You took an oath to protect their, you know, their constitutional rights and represent them. What are you doing about it?" And you say that on the air in front of the consul, and they're whoa, what in the world? I got to do something about this.
Yeah,
and that's why we got some Livonia was there when they got real hostile towards us. They wanted us out of there. But you have to remember is they're supposed to represent you and protect you. In other words, I told one Candace Miller, you know, she told me once, "I make the law, I don't enforce them." I said, "Well, represent us or resign."
Right.
You
don't want the job, give it to somebody else.
We have a caller waiting here from area code 530. Did you have a question or comment for John and Pauline?
Oh, hi, Marty. I just did turn on to the show, and I'm not sure how much I missed, but I had a couple of points. First off, when I was waiting on the line, I heard a male voice come over and say, "Unmuted." Is that part of your part?
No.
Because I don't know if maybe you've got something cutting in here.
That automatically comes up when you call in until I cue you up. It'll mute you.
Oh, okay. Okay. What I wanted to say, a couple points, what I'm hearing a lot of people are doing, or the ones that have opted out, is they paid the opt-out original opt-out fee in a separate check, and they're paying the opt-out monthly fee in a separate check. So I'm thinking possibly when a class action lawsuit comes along, then we might be able to itemize a little more easily as what they have taken from the consumers. Yeah. And then the other point I had is, as I've listened to what you were saying many times about the government becoming a corporation, well, why don't we become, why don't we, the people, form a corporation?
That's a good idea.
Start it. Like, yeah. We'll join.
Love it.
And you can be the CEO.
Yeah.
Well,
honestly.
You have to remember one thing about becoming a corporation. They own you. They have legal basis to sue you and grab everything you own once you become a corporation. What saves us from being come after is we don't take anything. Nobody owns us. No one finances us. We're completely sovereign in the aspect that we do the freedom of speech thing, and we don't break any rules. We're polite, courteous. We raise our voice occasionally, but we give the documentation, their documentation, their evidence, their word, that what is right, what's wrong, and how it works, and that we don't make things on up. We use their documentation against them, and that's how you win.
You win with
but
their
how are they so protected then? That we, you know, there's been such a push to try to stop them, and yet they keep. Didn't they get personhood? I don't know the right legal term, but they when they got the legal right to become a person.
Citizen of the United.
So
you're talking about the corporations becoming an entity.
An entity, right?
Yes.
And
is that what protects them in the courts?
Well,
they said in Citizens of the United, they said that because corporations are comprised of people, that means that they have free speech and they have the right free. Donating to campaigns is free speech, and they are recognized as persons. If you look at any kind of legislation, excuse me, I've had such terrible laryngitis and I'm kind of fading here, but if you look at any kind of legislation dealing with corporations or who that legislation might apply to, one of the first things listed will be person, but you have to look up person because the first definition of person is a corporation, and unless it says and individuals,
okay,
that law probably doesn't apply to you.
Right.
Okay. Well, I've got more homework to do. I see. I'll get off.
A lot of home always.
Okay. I'll listen. And thank you.
Thank you. Yeah. That's one of the things that I have learned as I've moved on through this over time is that. You really have to pay attention to the language that's used. I have two Black's Law dictionaries now, a 2005 and a 2008. And if you look at the difference in terminology definition just between those books, 5th edition and 8th edition, they change the language all the time. So staying on top of that to understand what they are currently saying is very important. You can usually look that up online. One of the things, too, as you talk about, you know, only being given 3 to 5 minutes to speak in a public meeting, that really rankles me. I was at a meeting here not too long ago dealing with property rights, and the attorneys and the commissioners and this one and that one could just talk till you thought you were going to fall out of your chair from boredom.
Yes.
But when they got up to speak, they had 3 minutes each. And when we first came into the meeting, they had a sign-up sheet out there. And they said, you have to sign up if you want to talk. I said, no, I don't. Well, yeah, you do. I said, no, I don't. And I said, according to open meeting laws, I don't have to sign anything. Well, if you want to speak, you do. I said, no, I don't. So we get on in there, and I got in the line because, of course, I'm going to talk. And so they got down. I was the last one. And they said, well, we don't have any more. I said, yeah, you do. You got me. Well, you're not on the sign-up sheet. I said, and don't intend to be. I said, you are breaking the law telling me I have to sign up and tell you what I want to talk about. I can get up here and talk about my dog, Milo. It's none of your business. Your job is to listen.
Well, some
one
places
of the things,
that we were.
Go ahead,
Marty.
Well,
some places where we were at, like Livonia, they would limit the amount of people that we could speak about the subject. Like when we were in Livonia, they said, well, there's five of you, only one person can speak for 5 minutes. And they would limit
you.
No, you
don't allow that to happen.
Well, I did.
One of the things you need to do is find out, if first off, does your state have specific to its your state open meeting laws? Find out what those laws are. And the second thing is walk in carrying a printed off copy of those laws. The other thing is they do not have the right under any circumstances. Those are public employees holding a public meeting. It's a public venue, and you are the public. Now, if anybody's limited on speaking there, it ought to be those people that set themselves up there on the dais like they were kings and queens. Shut those people up. We don't care what they have to say because we already know they'll lie to us. But I don't allow that. One of the things I've encouraged people to do here is when they're going to hold one of these dog and pony shows, they call a public meeting, hold a countering meeting at the same time in close proximity, invite them to it. They won't come. But extend the invitation publicly and then hold your own meeting. You'll get press there. You'll get coverage just as much as they will. Videotape your meetings. We've got to counter this stuff, and this is one reason I find the two of you so interesting. You have actively countered this at every possible avenue, every possible junction. You have countered this. And I guess what I'm trying to find out is, as you've moved across, as people come to realize what this is actually about, are they angry? Are they upset? Are they just, I don't care?
Well, Marty, you have both the ways. You've got some people that don't care because they love the technology in the different cities. And then you got some people that really say, oh, my gosh, this is problems. But I think the majority amount of people don't agree with the EMF situation with these meters. I think most of the time their people are running on the privacy issue. I think that's what they're really working on. But the EMF, they're not concerned about because there's so much everywhere. And it doesn't seem to bother them. How do they know it doesn't bother them? They could be having different symptoms from it.
Yes.
I don't understand that. And people don't get that. But they are worried about the privacy.
You know, Marty,
go ahead, John. Go ahead.
When we went to the communities, we had what we called CHIPS. Cost, health, invasion of your home, invasion of your privacy, and safety, and the liability. We had five major issues we talked about, and normally the audience could relate to one of them. The cost of the smart meter, how much is it going to cost you, can you afford it, who's paying for it, then you get the health, the RF, the EMF in your home, all the side effects of all of it, and then they're actually going from the outside of your home into your home with the smart chipped appliances and everything. And then the Fourth Amendment right to privacy. Nowhere has a private corporation been able to dictate they can invade your home with communications to steal your Fourth Amendment rights. And then you got the fires of the homes. When they pull out the meters, they loosen the wiring and that, and the houses catch fire, and people could be injured and die. Who pays for that? Because the meter belongs to DTE. We had a fire in Ann Arbor, Michigan, and DTE was on the Channel 7 News. He goes, smart meter didn't cause the fire. It was the wiring behind it.
Right.
That's the rationale.
Well,
the
they came up with that
to
rationale. That rationale in conjunction with the insurance companies who will not insure damage from smart meters. They were never UL approved and tested. They are dangerous. The insurance companies know they're dangerous. And they won't insure damage from smart meters. So this was what they came up with. Well, it wasn't the meter that did it. It was, like you say, it was the wiring. That's what was wrong. Well, if you know that wiring could be a problem, then why aren't you rewiring the house?
Well, there you go. When they send out that technician to come on your property against your will, grab the old analog meter that's been on there for 20, 25 years, yank it, pull it, wiggle it, pop it on out, then press the other one in there into the same prongs that haven't been touched in 20 years, and they don't have a technician look at the wiring, if it's a copper or aluminum. If it's aluminum, it could be brittle from the use of the heating, cooling, and that, and some strands can be broken, which causes resistance, which causes heat, which causes fires. And they don't have an inspection on that. They just assume, hey, the guy threw it on, everything's going to be fine. There's lot of issues that have to be addressed about this, and it's a big fight.
I had Deborah Tavares from Refuse Smart Meters on here about 2 weeks ago, 2.5 maybe.
She's great. She's a wonderful person.
Oh, yeah. And she put me onto that site, antennasearch.com.
Yeah.
And
yes.
you go on there, just type your zip code in, and in a 4-mile radius of your home, it will tell you all the antennas and cell towers. Now, I live in a very rural community surrounded by cornfields and dairy farms. Mm-hmm. There's 700 and some people here. The closest town is about 8 miles away. And I put in the necessary information, punch the button, and in a 4-mile radius, there are 16 cell towers and hidden antennas out here in the boonies.
That's in the boonies.
In the boonies, yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
Look what we have here. We have a lot here.
Yeah, I can't imagine what it must be like. I know when I go, like I say, St. Cloud is the largest town north of me. It's about 20 miles north. And when I go into St. Cloud, I get about about a mile outside of the city limits, excuse me, and my ears start ringing and buzzing.
Yep.
And this has bothered me for the last 3 years. And the whole time I'm in St. Cloud, it's just this ringing and buzzing and my headaches, my vision blurs. I couldn't figure out what was going on. I'm riding with a friend of mine recently, and as we came up to this area, and I said, you know, I keep feeling I got to stick my fingers in my ears because I said they're going to start ringing and buzzing. And she said, well, that's because of that over there. And here on both sides of the road, of the highway, it's 4-lane, regular interstate coming in there. All you could see were these towers. They were sticking up everywhere. She said, that's why your ears do that. She said, or she was talking about her husband had the same problem. And I thought, my God, what the, and this is hitting me out on the highway.
Oh, yeah.
Sorry, kids just came in from school. Hold on here. Sorry, the dog always has to sound the alarm.
Us too, ours is like that too.
Yeah. And it's just
Marty,
One of the
problems I have is people start, like you were saying earlier, people talk about the smart meter being like a cell phone, being about a microwave, or being about a TV. And I go to the cumulative effect. I really don't care how small the microwatts is on that smart meter. I talk about the cumulative effect. You have the Wi-Fi in your home. You have the deck telephone. You have the TV. You have the games the kids play and all that stuff. That smart meter is going to be on 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. You may have two of them on your home, maybe three. And your neighbor's got two, maybe three. And your other neighbor's got two, maybe three. And you're going to be living in a fog of radio frequency, like you talked about the cell towers. You're out in the country. But when you're living in a community like me that has a house 15 feet away on both sides and behind, those smart meters are going to be putting a fog over my neighborhood, my community of radio frequency that I have to walk through, drive through every single day to go somewhere. There'll be no escaping this EMF and RF being imposed by a corporation. So there are no long-term studies on the non-thermal effects of RF. That's a fact.
And they're not going to do them either, are they, John? They're not going to do them.
No intention.
Yes.
When people start dying from it in 10 or 15 years, and there's going to be enough of them, then they'll probably go ahead and do that. Then it'll be too late for the next generation.
Right.
And this is what's going to happen. This is why it's so important that we get it out there and we start holding them accountable. You know, speaking up at the communities, and at the board meetings and that sort of thing. People have to know that they should have a choice, an informed, educated choice about what's happening to them.
We've got a caller back on here again from area code 530. Did you have a question or a comment?
I did. As I was listening to you talk, I called back. I was hearing you speak about the effects on the physical, and I got to thinking and wondering, I'm hearing a lot of people talk about that kind of the fog covering a community is a really apt description. And have you noticed an incidence of more panic attacks as you cross the country? I'm noticing more people complaining of that, suddenly this feeling of angst that they didn't feel before.
And they can't sleep. A lot of people are feeling that, yes.
Okay, that's very interesting. That's something that might be targeted also. Okay, I'll get off the line again.
Thank you. Thanks for calling. Thank you for calling back.
She's welcome to stay, isn't she, Marty?
Yeah.
You can ask
more than one
question, can't she?
Yes. Of course. Well, she dropped, but if she wants to call back in, she certainly can. You can stay on if you want to be involved in the conversation. We've got no problem with that. The only thing I do ask is if you do call in, like our caller has done, that it be about the topic at hand and directed to our guests. That is one thing I must insist on. Now, I've heard a lot of people complaining. And recently, I had taken one of my granddaughters to the doctor for the possible ear infection flaring back up. One of the questions they asked in there was, have you been subjected to secondhand smoke? Yeah. And I said, why? Is there bacteria and virus in the smoke? Well, no. I said, then how could it possibly cause an infection? And, well, have your ears been ringing? And have any buzzing or ringing in your ears? That could cause it too. I said, no, it couldn't. But a smart meter could.
Mm-hmm.
And the doctor kind of leaned back and looked at me and goes, what are you talking about? I said, the EMF from the smart meters can cause buzzing and ringing in the ears and the irritation. Oh, he said, you're a conspiracy theorist. And I said, and you're an asshole.
Everybody says that.
Oh, yeah. I wear the title proudly. You can call me what you will, but don't call me stupid. And I'm seeing this. I think there is an overt effort to try to collect data, false data, and apply it to not only, like, say, smoking, but to smart meters. Well, these kids that have ear infection, it couldn't be because there's three smart meters on their house driving them berserk. It must be because somebody's smoking. You know, that must be it. Yeah, it couldn't be that. But I'm concerned. I read, and I was reading on your site just today, too, about the DNA chain breaks, the altering of brain waves. And if it's doing that, it's got to be altering what we call body rhythms, which is the normal cycling of your body. How many people, you know, have to succumb to this and have problems for it? And like I said, John, they're never going to do that testing. They're never going to do that.
No.
They already know the answer.
That's why it's so important to have the radio show like you have and the others are having. And Nina Beatty just gave us permission to post her book online about the analysis of smart meters. And I just put that online today. And it's great. It talks about all the EMF, the dangers of it, how it's all done, how it affects the children and everything. And I just put that on the website today with a bunch of other stuff. And it's important that people be able to get this analysis from reliable sources so that they can compare it to what other people are saying. You know, I have the BioInitiative report. I got cell phones. I got the American Academy of Environmental Medicine. But people have to know they have a resource to go to, like your talk show and the Preacher Man and so many other ones that we've been on are talking about this. But people have to be able to go ahead and go someplace and get that documentation that they can take to the communities and say, wait a minute, I have ringing in my ears and I didn't have it before they put that smart meter on my home and now I have it. And my kid's immunity system was great, but now all of a sudden he's sleeping on in, he's irritable, he can't think straight. What's causing that?
Well, what about the people with heart problems, with the defibrillators, and what about people with insulin pumps, you know, and problems that way, autism? I have a young lady who's called me about her son. He's epileptic and having a lot of trouble with that right now, every time it reads.
Weakening the immune system will bring
exactly.
on all kinds of different ailments that you can't even comprehend. How is that related? Well, I mean, between the fluoride, the chemtrails, all this other things that they're throwing at us, the GMOs.
Vaccines.
Yeah, the vaccines.
Oh, horrifying.
And now we have the radio frequency, the irritable, the, you know, like I said, people change their sleep cycles. They go ahead, don't eat properly anymore, and even what they're eating isn't proper.
No.
And all of a sudden their immune system kicks on in and saying, hey, we're out of whack, so all these other symptoms and ailments pop up.
Oh, yeah. But you're going to find a lot of people coming out of the woodwork about what's going on because they're becoming sick and they're becoming informed. And you're going to find a lot of people that are going to do something about it all over.
Well, and that's just it. How many times can you overlook something like this? Of course, this makes me think of this mess with vaccines. We know that these things are detrimental. They're harmful. They do not prevent disease. They cause disease. And we've had children drop over dead from vaccines, be permanently impaired for life from vaccines. And even with the evidence, the mountains and mountains of evidence of how detrimental these things are, how lethal they are, the government just keeps standing there going, oh, no, there's no problem. Oh, no, that's conspiracy theory stuff. Oh, that's anecdotal. That might have happened once, you know, sometime a long time ago. And we're seeing the same thing with smart meters. The evidence keeps rolling in. The documentation keeps piling up. And they're still saying, oh, no, there's nothing to it. No, there's nothing to it. I just don't. Why we tolerate this? How do we stop tolerating this?
Well, we have to. The problem is the people have been asleep for so long. They keep believing that the government is doing right by them, and they're representing and protecting them. And you come to find out, like the food, they're putting horse meat in hamburgers nowadays, or your sawdust and that sort of thing. That they're not really watching what people are doing. And the government goes, oh, well, we'll rein that in now. But how long did it go on? So this is the problem. The voices have to be awoken in people. They have to be said, don't watch the football game or the baseball game or the other sports. Have an interest in your family and your health and the well-being of your community, because no one else is going to do that for you. You can't trust them to go ahead and make sure that the hamburger you buy from the fast food joint is really beef.
And it's not, probably.
It could be 50% beef and 50%
horse
something
meat
else.
And whatever else, yeah.
Yep.
And who knows
what's
in it, whether it comes from South America or it comes from China. You know, the same thing with medications and that. We're finding out now some of the stuff is, you know, got food floor scraps in it, and it's not really medication. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is what's happening. We keep believing that they're going to protect us, and the people in there are in there for the jobs, for the money, and not to do the right thing.
I think that's one of the things in everything that bothers me. I've got an article that will be coming out soon called American versus American, and the idea that we have this segment of our population, and it occurs in every society, where they will separate themselves out and they will throw in with what we term the bad guys, put on the badge, get in the government vehicle and start harassing and terrorizing their neighbors and community. And we see this happening now. We've got TSA, you know, we've got the USDA acting with SWAT teams. For God's sake, this has gone. We've got police departments militarized with tanks and now drones and grenades and this. Who is it these people are going to war with? Well, I guess it would be us. And so, but I mean, you see all this over the top stuff, and the people that will gladly, they could have been the nicest person in the world, your friends, your family member, a neighbor, a common everyday person, but they will put on that government badge. And they turn into a maniac. It absolutely is terrifying how quickly they morph into this type of individual that has no compunction whatsoever about turning your life upside down, violating your rights, breaking the law themselves, storming your property, causing you all kinds of grief, and then they go home to their family like nothing happened. I don't get that.
Well, that's a perfect example, Marty, of what happened in Naperville. People should wake up and to see what happened there, and it could happen at their own doorstep.
Well, Pauline, what I'm trying to figure out on that Naperville deal is this. These people were on their own property. They're defending their own property, saying, I don't want this thing put on my house. I already have a meter that works quite fine. And they didn't get arrested for trying to stop them from putting the meter on. They got arrested for obstructing the police.
Obstructing the police, yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. They didn't get charged with anything to do with the meter.
No.
For obstructing police. How can you obstruct police on your own property when you haven't broken any laws?
Exactly.
What is it you're obstructing? Yes.
Exactly.
Yes.
What oath did they take? Right. I don't understand it.
It just absolutely makes me sick. But they'll do it time after time. And one of the things I've brought up, too, is in regard to this, people will say to you, well, just call the police because, you know, property rights are, you know, above everything else. No, they're not. Call the police. When that car pulls up, you're going to notice it no longer says to protect and serve on the side of it.
Serve, exactly.
It just says sheriff in great big giant letters or, you know, whatever your name of your city is, police. And but I had spoken to a deputy sheriff here, and I just casually mentioned to him. I said, I noticed the words protect and serve are no longer on the side of your vehicle. And he goes, well, what's it to you? I said, it's a lot to me.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, well, what does it matter? And I said, it matters a lot. What exactly is your job then if it is not to protect and serve? He said, well, our mandate has changed. Mm-hmm. I said, oh, really? In what way? And he said, well, he said, we're part of Homeland Security now. And he said, our mandate has changed. He said, our job is no longer to protect and serve you. He said, we're to protect the government from you.
The corporation.
And
there you go.
He said, that's
exactly.
What, yeah. And I kind of stood there and looked at that man. I couldn't believe it, you know, and he was just arrogant about it. But we see this reflected in the rising number of cases of police brutality, just outright violent behavior. These are people that put a badge on and forgot who they were or were supposed to be. But, well, okay, up there in Michigan, now, have you had any cases up there where the police have intervened on behalf of the utility company and violated people's property rights?
We haven't done, none of that's been done yet. We only had the one incident that the young man was, he took it off with a hammer and he was fined $3,000. But he got his meter back. He got his analog meter back. He took it off with a hammer, and then he went out. And then 2 minutes later, the police were there.
Uh-oh.
So they know right away when you've tampered with that.
Meter,
because there's tampering device on it. You know,
mm-hmm.
And that. And besides the two lawsuits, they're being sued for $25,000 because they took the digital meter off and put on an analog meter. So we've got those going right now.
And all for something that, according to PURPA regulations, you had to be offered and accepted or had requested. It was a totally opt-in program. The way the PURPA regulations are written, no one could be forced into this. You had to opt in. This was not, and everything is set up either it's opt-in or it's opt-out, and this was an opt-in regulation.
And why do we have to pay this tariff?
Exactly. So this is what
sense.
I'm telling you. If this was the way it was supposed to be, which I can prove to you it is,
mm-hmm.
then why should I have to pay to opt out of something I was never a part of to begin with, I didn't agree to? But see, this gets back to that contract law thing again.
Mm-hmm.
By paying the opt-out, by agreeing that, okay, yes, I need the court to say I can opt out, you've entered the contract. You've admitted that there was a hidden contract you knew nothing about, most likely, and you didn't. And by filing that lawsuit and asking to be able to opt out, You have entered the contract. You have acknowledged the contract.
You're
and you have
to a new contract.
Right.
Yes, exactly, John. Exactly.
But Marty, the problem is you're still going to have that digital meter. You're not going to have the analog meter.
Exactly. See, they've got you no matter which way you go. Go ahead, John.
This is the fight, okay? And this is the whole thing. We missed the opportunity with case U17000, and we're here with the opt-out case. And like I said, they fudged the numbers on the people that want the AMI meter. There are no people that really want it, as far as they know, but that's what they claim. And so the cost of the opt-out is $87 down and $15 a month to get your freedom back. But then again, at the bottom of that contract, they say you will be losing the benefits of the AMI meter. You agree to that. And this is the new contract. So this is why we have to keep getting the legislators to pass a law saying we do not have to have that meter for any reason whatsoever. It shouldn't be a law. There shouldn't be any argument about it because the Consumer Protection Act says we don't have to have it. But because the MPSC has primary jurisdiction in dealing with the monopolies of the utility companies, it has to go through them. And this is why you have to get it on the record with the courts, the public can see it, how this whole thing works. And that's why I posted the transcripts on our smart meter page so people can go through there and see what DTE says and what the people are arguing and what the court says and how they're determining exactly what is valid, a valid argument about this. Because they're quoting, here we go again, we argue the law, the judge decides the law, and we have to go ahead and fight this on the legal terms that they have. And that's why it's so important to get the populace involved, because it's about we the people, not the corporations. The corporations keep dictating to us what they believe the rules are, how they can make a profit off of us, irregardless of the circumstances or the hazards they put on us. So we have to keep fighting in the public, get everybody aware, saying it's the cost, it's health, invasion of our home, loss of Fourth Amendment, as General Petraeus says. And then there's the safety and the liability. We got five issues. Why would we want something that creates five issues when the old analog meter did nothing? It didn't cost a thing extra. It just did its job, and we were happy to pay our bill. Now we got to deal with this new thing.
Yeah, and that's the thing, John. I see, this is what I don't understand. You say about the courts, you argue the law, and the court says what the law is. Well, the law is very clear, but it's hard to get a court to go with the law. What they're using now is what they call case law, meaning some judge before me rendered this ruling, and it's arbitrary to the Constitution. It violated state law, but he said it was okay, so I'm going with that. And we have too many judges sitting on the bench now, in fact, virtually all of them saying, the law is what I say it is.
Well,
and
that's
we have
what
Supreme,
I'm,
exactly. Yeah,
that's what I'm
have,
getting at.
This, go ahead.
We've been very fortunate, and I don't want to go ahead and ruin a good thing, but when you bring the facts to the case, the facts and the evidence before the court, and you quote those previous cases and those decisions and why they were decided in that direction, that is what the other judges use as a basis for the new problems they're facing in the jurisdiction. Mm-hmm. It's supposed to be a simple thing. Hey, that's not right. Okay, so let's go ahead and make it right and move on. But they start quoting the laws and the other decisions. And those are the ones you're supposed to bring on up and use as a basis to present your case and saying, wait a minute, they can't do this because of case so-and-so was judged and the decision was this, and so we have to send them packing, give us our analog meter back. That's how it's supposed to work. But see, we're civilians. We're not lawyers. We don't know all these cases. We don't know the proper words. And that's what makes it difficult, because the lawyers are in on it for the money, too.
Oh, you better believe it.
You're not going to get a lawyer to do this for you.
No.
Well, John, too, the problem is with in the public service commissions too, they have this rule saying that you could send in a postcard, call in, or they've got a website that you could send your readings in. So why do we have to switch to a digital? Why do we have to have all this? We don't even need meter readers if they want to do that.
Exactly.
See, here we go again.
That's the same thing.
Let me explain that. The Michigan Public Service Commission and the utilities set up these rules, and they all agreed to them. And the part of the rules was that a homeowner could go ahead 11 months of the year, mail in their usage, but once a year they would do a reading to check the accuracy of the meter at that residence. That is
and
one of the rules they live by.
Mm-hmm.
So you could do the postcard thing, but the argument is we enforce the rules, and you violated this rule, and we're going to hold you accountable. We're going to lock you on up and charge you $25,000 because you tampered with our meter.
Well, see, what I think a lot of different ways than most people do. My idea is if you're going to put this meter on my house and I don't want it on there, and you're telling me you can do this because you're the utility company, well, it's something I didn't want. It's something I didn't need. So as far as I'm concerned, you're storing your equipment on my property, so you owe me storage fees.
Storage fees, yeah, exactly.
Yes, this is what I brought up down here. Okay, mm-hmm. If you're going to extort me to put this meter in, then it's a meter I don't want. The meter that was in here already worked just fine. And so, therefore, you're putting equipment in here that was not wanted or needed. So apparently you just have excess equipment somewhere that you were trying to find someplace to house, and so that's storage. So if it's going to cost me $50 to have a meter reader come, then it surely should be worth $50 for me to store your meter.
To store your meter, at least, yes.
Yeah, and everybody goes, oh, my God, what are you talking about? But, you know, when you reverse this on them, you turn this around on them, use mm-hmm. this same convoluted logic on them, then they get all upset. They're just in a, you know, their butts get in a wad. And mm-hmm. But what you were talking about, John, about case law, this is when they interviewed possible candidates for the Supreme Court. I remember with Roberts, they kept talking about stare decisis, and this is... already settled. It's Latin for meaning already settled. So in other words, laws we've already shoved through the Supreme Court that violated the Constitution. Will you uphold those laws? Will you leave that alone and not tamper with that? That's basically what they're asking them.
Mm-hmm.
And this is, you know, they have to agree, yeah, I'll uphold stare decisis. And the same thing goes on in our state courts. They are also operating on stare decisis, already settled. You bring the case in. We get lawyers in courts who do not argue the law any longer. They argue case law.
Case law. Yeah.
And they.
Yeah.
And you're absolutely right, John. You're not going to get an attorney anywhere.
No.
Anywhere that's going to represent you in anything. They'll take your money,
no, because,
but they are not going to represent you.
No, they have too much to lose and nothing to gain by helping us.
Yes, exactly.
I mean, that's it. We're poor and indigent, and the people that send them cases and references, and they have to face every day in the court system, you know, are going to go ahead and be staring at them saying, how dare you go ahead and work against us, okay? And you're going to be blackballed, and you'll never get another case again.
For sure.
That's
we see
do.
This... On Sunday evenings, I do shows on guardianship abuse as committed by professional fiduciaries. We call them professional predatory guardians that work in the courts. That we see the same thing. People can get no representation. Lawyers will take tens of thousands of dollars from these families that are wanting nothing more than visitation with the elderly person that's been kidnapped and isolated against the law and medicated against their will for no reason in most cases. And they just simply want that person back. Take the estate. That's what you're after. Take the estate. And we have seen time and time again, attorneys will take tens of thousands of dollars from these families. They mortgage their homes. They use their retirement accounts trying to save mom or dad or grandma or grandpa, whoever it is. And right before they go into court, the attorney will turn around and say, I can't represent you, and walk away.
Yep, that happens.
And walk away. And nothing happens to them. And the attorneys that do, there's maybe one out of 1,000 that will try to represent you. The other attorneys come after them, go to the bar association, try to get them sanctioned, try to get their bar license or their law license taken. And it's a disgusting state of affairs. But what I see happening across the board is this total loss of rights as a private citizen, as a sovereign, a total loss of rights. These people violate the law. They break more laws in the first 4 hours of a work day than you and I would break in a lifetime. And nothing happens to them. And, you know, and this, where are our legislators? Where are our governors? Why is no one standing up to defend us? And why can't you get them to stand up? You know, we covered that. You're right, John. They're not in there to do the job we thought we elected them for. They're in there to make money.
They're all out for the money everywhere you go, yeah.
That's one thing you have to realize is that we, the people, have to start standing on up, speaking on up, loud and clear. Represent us, protect us, or resign. Somebody else will take that job that was willing to go ahead and do that for us. We're tired of paying for people who work for the corporations instead of the people.
Well, what's going to happen is one of these governors or senators, people, is going to become sick. And then you're going to start hearing a little bit about it. Then things are going to start happening. I think it's going to happen.
Yeah,
I really do.
I hope that it does. For all of
too.
Us, I hope that it does. And not that I wish anyone ill, but I hope that it does.
But
and,
I really think it's going to happen. Something's going to happen. Something's going to spurt. Someone's going to get sick, a child, a mother-in-law, or grandma. I think it's going to happen. It'll be soon, too, I think.
Well, you know, here, what was it? It's been about 5 years ago out in New York, close to the UN, that Russian diplomat, they turned an EMF weapon on him that they blasted him with. The whole time he was in his office, he eventually dropped over. He had brain bleeds, a heart attack, and everything else. Outwardly, it looked like, you know, he just dropped over dead. It was when they did the autopsy, they realized that something had hit this man repeatedely.
Yeah, a lot of that
There's a lawsuit over that. Russia has sued our government over that because it was the CIA that did it. And when they were questioned by the Senate committee, they said, well, yeah, they did it, but they just wanted to see how well the weapon worked because, you know, they got to chase terrorists.
Yeah.
And this is exactly what they're installing on our homes.
Well,
this
people
is
have
exactly,
to read that. Exactly. People have to read that silent weapons document, what they've done with soldiers in Iraq and different things. I mean, it's appalling when I read that. Now, I'm reading a book called Beyond a Pale Horse right now by William Cooper.
Oh, I have the DVD.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. I have found out so much stuff from there. This is a book by him. Oh, it's fantastic. It starts from way back when, and you'll learn so much from it. I suggest everybody read that book. It's fantastic. There's so
my friend BJ Alzona sent me a copy of that DVD, and watching it, it'll make your hair stand on end.
You talking about the one with Charlie Daniels?
Yes.
Yeah, but this is a book.
Yes.
It's about 300 pages and talks about all this stuff, you know, about UFOs and all that, just the Disclaimer Project. It's just amazing what people would really find out when they read that book, the Silence Weapon document and everything.
Yes. Silent Weapons for Quiet Wars. Yes.
Yes.
And how they've manipulated us as a population. And I think all of this has led up to, Pauline, where we are now, where we're just pushed from pillar to post and they do whatever they want to do to us and never mind what it does to us or how badly it disrupts our lives. Somebody said, well, if there was anything wrong with these meters, they would prosecute these heads of these utility companies and people at the Energy Commission. I said, really? I said, how many bankers and Wall Street thugs and criminals brought the country nearly to its knees in an economic collapse?
Exactly.
And I said, mortgage fraud, stock fraud. Mm-hmm. I said, fictional bookkeeping, this, that, and something else. All of this that went on, how many of them went to jail? How many of them even got hauled into court? And you think they're going to bring a utility company head in over these smart meters?
What would happen if people found? What would people find out if people actually found out how exactly Agenda 21 was gone? Who started the executive orders? All the people involved, all your congressional people involved in all this. What do you think is going to happen?
Oh, well, I'll tell you that Agenda 21 is probably one of the major threats we face right now, and that's ICLEI. ICLEI in your city, if your city belongs to it. Even if they don't, they're more than likely using the software provided by them, and they're implementing what is called model statutes, which basically is an attack on property rights and how to make property ownership so untenable that you'll give it up.
Mm-hmm.
And it's basically what it's about. In the interim, they make a ton of money on unnecessary fees and fines and permits and this and that and something else. If your city belongs to ICLEI, you need to start raising a ruckus of them getting out of it and dispensing with all this model statute and their software and the programming and all of that, because this is out of the UN. It is an end to property rights, and we're going to start seeing the big effects of that this year of just how much right you have lost. And I think, too, Paulina John, this case out there in Naperville with these two ladies is an example of that. Their property rights should be above everything. Their right to choose what's installed on their home, how it's installed, what if they know it to be dangerous or believe it to be dangerous, the right to say no. And they are arrested for obstructing the police. And nobody, of course, Rahm Emanuel's out in that area. I guess you can figure that's
half the problem. Oh, yeah, he's in Chicago. He's a Chicago mayor. So I talked to a lot of people in Illinois, and Illinois is not really going anywhere, doing anything. Naperville's just got their own little group. And just like we started, we did the whole state. We didn't worry about just Shelby Township. We went from 30, 35 cities. We bounced back and forth. We've hit some people in Ohio. You know, I get groups going all the time with information and DVDs and stuff, and people are astounded.
Yeah, and that's what it takes, is it takes a blitz like that to, and just
and
keep coming back at them. Of course, what with you being so emotional and all, Pauline, you know.
Well, you know, I got kicked out a few times, too. I mean, I've gotten hollered, and, you know, I got in the hallway with DT, and I told them, tell the people at the Band-Aid. It's all documented everywhere. We have a Smart Meter Sham video that talks about all that and pinpoints them. We had them under the gun. We had them under the gun in Lansing, too. We really did. We were able to question. That was the greatest thing. We were able to question them about things. And people need to be able to do that in their own states. They need to be getting into their PUCs and doing something, demanding they do investigations. And just like we did. You know, California's doing it, too.
Yes.
In different places.
Yes.
You know, Florida's doing a lot of things about Agenda 21. I got people working down there that they're pushing a lot of Agenda 21 on people. Now, Ohio just had Don Casey, and they're doing lectures about it in seven different cities. So he's been doing a lot of different things. I mean, you've got the John Birch Society out there doing stuff. You know, everybody's out there. We're out there doing it. You know, we're doing things every day, daily, talking to people on all this stuff.
Right. I don't, Pauline, John mentioned, or you did, that you're going to be on about three or four more radio shows this week. Where will you be on and what time so people can listen to you again if they want to?
Let me see. The next one's going to be Preacher Man. That's going to be on the 21st of February. And we're supposed to be on Chad Olson one day, too. I don't exactly know the time of that. But we've already done three or four this week. Different shows.
All right.
We did Coast to Coast, and we did, what was the other one? We've done three or four different just recently.
You did Coast to Coast, didn't you?
We just did Coast to Coast just recently, yeah.
Yeah.
Stan Monteith, too. Gee, I'm just so tired. We just Stan Monteith this week, too.
Yeah.
He's a fantastic guy. He's a really, just
yes,
like you are.
Yes, he is. I've been on his show a couple times.
He knows the stuff like you do. And he gets it out there, and people listen to him. They follow him. And I've got friends in Michigan all over the place that listen to him constantly, you know, and it's fantastic because more people are getting out. And people are calling us from the shows, too.
Good. I'm glad to hear that. Do you want to give out, like, all your contact information, Pauline, and your website so everybody grab a piece of paper and a pencil? And
if anybody wants to call us, our phone number is 586 731 3314. Our website is www.w4ar.com. www.w4ar.com.
Go to the smart meter page.
Go to the smart meter page. Also, I've got a smart meter online petition you can sign also on the front page.
Oh, excellent. Okay. I'll be doing that myself.
If anybody really wants to know about the smart meters, how they work and that, go to our smart meter page, and there's a picture that says, what is a smart meter? Click there. Shows you the difference, and underneath that, there's a new book from Nina Beattie put on out about the analysis of smart meters and the smart grid. It's like 160-some pages. It's a PDF file. You can download that if you want to or print it on out. It's good reading. I mean, there's so much information that people need to go ahead and learn about. And we try to provide as much as we can. And hope everybody can go ahead and use it.
There's Go ahead,
yeah,
Marty.
Go ahead. Well, I was going
to
say,
what I want to say real quick is, in Nita Beattie's book, she's got information about what the different states are doing also, and that's a really good lead so you can get started in your own state.
When you go to the W4AR webpage, the homepage, there is a navigation panel on the right-hand side. It's red. You can't miss it. And it's got everything broken down. The site is so full of information, you're not going to believe it. But we've got smart meters, Agenda 21, Shay's Rebellion, and the Fed, Critical Issues, Life SOS, the Tea Party, and Contact Us. So there's everything right there. The page is very easy to navigate. Like I say, the information is just monumental. I just can't tell you. I've tried here. I've tried so hard to get people up, get them moving, get them doing something. And it's like trying to wake the dead. And this will be an area that I can guarantee you, when the hammer drops, these people are going to cry like babies. How come nobody told us? Why didn't you say something? You know, people have been screaming, jumping up and down. I mean, look at what you people have done there in Michigan. Yeah. And Michigan, I mean, that my take on Michigan, having dealt with agricultural issues out there, the loss of property rights in rural areas, that kind of thing. My whole concept of Michigan was, you guys were in a total police state already. That, you know, basically everything had been taken over. And so I'm surprised that you're allowed, that nobody has tried to stop you campaigning against this. Has anybody openly tried to prohibit you from doing this?
The only problem we had was when we were in Livonia. Livonia probably was the only city that we had problems. They really didn't want us talking about it because more people were coming on board. They had a meeting with DTE. They passed the resolution when they were there, and they were the only ones that we had problems. They threatened to shut us down, you know. They even threatened to have me not even come to the city anymore. They wanted to ban me from the city. Yeah.
You're kidding.
No,
Who was advocating
on the board?
Oh, my God.
Board of Trustees. I mean, they told me I couldn't speak. They voted. I didn't know they were even voting on me not to speak. And then they started speaking. They said, well, we've already voted. You can't speak.
And I would have said, well, I've already spoken. I'm going to continue. And
I still started, and they just hit the gavel down again and again. And, you know, I didn't want to disrupt the whole audience at Livonia. But then when they took me out with the police, I was appalled by that because I was just talking about the mandate. Next thing I know, the mayor signaled the council people to get me thrown out.
I'm telling you, these people that sit on these councils and these so-called mayors and these commissioners, I think something's done. I've just concluded something has to be done to these people. They get elected, they disappear for about 48 hours, and when they come back, they're a monster. I don't know what happens in that interim. I've seen it happen on the federal level, too. One of the best examples I can use of that is that I think he's a representative from out there on the East Coast, Jim West. And when he was running for office, I thought, my God, and this man was former Navy officer, stellar record, known for his honesty, his integrity. He campaigned on, you know, I'm going to try to change things in Washington. I don't know if I can, but I'm going to work hard to do that because what's going on isn't right. There's too much corruption, blah, blah, blah. He got elected landslide. He made a few appearances on cable news over the next 2 or 3 weeks. He was on there talking about various issues and getting in, you know, blah, blah, blah. He disappeared. He was gone for, I'd say, a good 8 weeks. You didn't see or hear anything about this man. When he resurfaced, he was totally on board with everything.
Oh, no.
And it just creeped me out. This man who was just going to be this champion, you know, he suddenly was on the well. He could see why they wanted to do that, and there was probably good reason they wanted to do that. And while he didn't understand everything, you know, it did. It just creeped me out. But that's what I said earlier. Something happens to these people when they get in these positions. I don't know. Maybe they put a death ray on them or something. I don't know. But something happens to these people. And they forget, and it's got to be money. You know it's got to be money. It's the only thing that motivates most of us.
Money and celebrity.
Yeah. Yeah, and then the absolute power to dick somebody else's life up if you want to. Listen, we've got about 2 minutes left here, three at the most. Is there any other information you want to get out to everybody? You want to give out your contact information again just in case?
Okay, our phone number is 586-731-3314. Our website is www.w4ar.com.
And Marty, one thing people have to realize, they have to start participating. They can't take their freedom for granted anymore.
Exactly.
Because they will steal it away from you if you do.
And they are stealing it from us. They're taking it on a daily basis. They're going after it. I don't know. I want to, you know, I'm always hopeful, which is why I keep doing this stuff. I'm always hopeful, but it's gotten to the point where I hope for the best and expect the worst. I just don't know. I would like to say I had made as much of a difference as the two of you have, but I haven't. And
Marty, you know, the people are going to find out. The more you speak up, the more they're going to listen. You know, the first year, I think it was the hardest for us. I don't think people were listening. Then all of a sudden, they're waking up. You're getting more and more people, more and more people. You know, we've just gotten a lot of people just recently, and people are waking up. And I'm telling you, they are. I think they will.
I hope so, Pauline. I hope so. We're down to the last couple of minutes here. I want to thank you both so much for coming on, especially in the middle of the afternoon like this. And I do want to have you back again. We've had so many technical difficulties here on Blog Talk. Hopefully they're straightened out. Here for a couple of weeks, we couldn't even stay on the air. And then I've been having, of course, this problem with laryngitis. And that's still not resolved either. But we will be back, and I do want to have you back. I want to get updated on what you're doing and the progress you're making. And again, to everyone listening, the website is www.w4ar.com. There is all sorts of resources there, documentation, articles, information you need to know. And I want to thank you for coming on, and we're going to have to say good afternoon for right now.
Thank you, Marty, and God bless. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Marty.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Good night, everyone. Good afternoon, whatever the case may be. And thanks, everybody, for joining the show. We'll talk to you later.